Chapter 37. Spire Albion, Habble Landing, The Black Horse Inn. The doors to the Black Horse slammed into the walls framing them, and what could only be a creature of the surface world squeezed inside. The thing was leathery and enormous, double or triple the mass of the largest man Gwen had ever seen, but it somehow managed to compress itself and come through the door without slowing down. Its segmented body was something like a spider's, but with four sections instead of two, elongated grotesquely, and some kind of dark grey carapace covered its back in flexible, articulated plates. It had too many legs to be a spider, too, all of them thick and massive at the base, covered in thickets of some kind of spine or rigid, sharp-looking hairs. Its head was hideous, Gwen thought. It was half shrouded in protrusions of its armor, wide and flat, with a nest of beady, gleaming eyes on either side, and a set of massive jaws hinged to great, bulging muscles along its skull. It slammed the door to the Black Horse closed, and then its rearmost legs spun a coil of some viscous grey substance onto the door behind it.
"Silkweaver!"
someone cried. The room erupted into panic. Patrons lunged up out of their seats, screaming. Some of them ran toward the stairway to the private rooms. Most fled toward the opposite door or the kitchen. A handful drew swords and raised gauntlets. The Silkweaver gave them no time to attack. It flung itself to the far side of the room, hurling its massive body into a luckless patron in aeronaut's leathers, smashing the man into the spire stone wall of the inn with an audible cracking of bones. The Silkweaver then slammed the other door closed and once more webbed it shut while its eyes scanned the room, looking, she realized, for a target. As it did, it distractedly seized a reeling patron with its long front set of limbs and slammed the man to the floor with casual, lethal power.
"Dear God in heaven," Gwen breathed, a chill settling in her belly. "It's intelligent."
"Impossible,"
Commodore Pine snarled, gripping the chair in both meaty hands and stepping back to stand even with Benedict and Gwen.
"Silkweavers are beasts."
"That's not a silkweaver,"
Master Ferris said in a matter-of-fact tone. The etherealist leaned forward and plucked a pitcher of beer from the table.
"It's a marionette. Some sort of puppet, at any rate."
Pine scowled at Master Ferris as the man began to take a long and determined pull from the pitcher, and then turned his glare to Gwen.
"How drunk is that man?"
"He's an etherealist," Gwen said, "and quite."
"Huh?"
Pine blinked, eyed Master Ferris with decided apprehension, and said,
"Ah."
"We have to get Ferris out of here," Benedict said in a low, tense voice. "It's here for him."
"Quite,"
burbled Master Ferris, from the midst of another drink. He coughed and wiped at his mouth.
"Quite, yes, it's been sent to stop me from interfering."
"With what?"
Pine demanded.
"I really have no idea,"
Ferris said happily.
"I've been changing my mind all night, which is why it can't find me, I presume."
Gwen watched in horror as the Silkweaver waited until several folk had pressed toward the doors to the kitchen together, and then it simply flung itself at them in another fantastically powerful bound. It struck them like a runaway freight cart, making wreckage of bodies in a chorus of screams. Its many legs struck like deadly clubs at whoever survived the impact. A drunken, armed patron discharged a gauntlet into the thing from no more than a foot away, but the Silkweaver's carapace shed much of the force of the blast, and the attack did little more than melt a small crater into its hide. The weapon did get the creature's attention, though, and it turned, lightning quick for something so large, and its jaws opened into three parts that closed on the armed man's gauntlet wrist and severed it from his body as neatly as the Lancaster's gardener clipping a rose stem. After that, the Silkweaver began spinning again and barricading the door to the kitchen with grisly corpses and silk webbing. The folk remaining in the room were fleeing toward the stairs, the only exit remaining to them.
"Stairs,"
Benedict said in a harsh voice.
No, we can't run. We have to kill it.
Gwen heard herself say in a hard, vicious voice.
Gauntlets are useless against that armor. If we trap ourselves in narrow hallways and tiny rooms, we play to its strengths, and it will murder us all one at a time. We're still guardsmen, Benedict.
With orders to protect Master Ferris.
We protect him by killing that horrible thing before it hurts any more Albions, Gwen spat. Right here, where we have room to use our numbers against it, while we still have them to use.
Little girl's right,
Commodore Pine grunted.
Rats take me, that's a huge one, but not invincible. If we can get to its belly, we can kill it. Nothing but blubber and arteries down there. A shot to its head might do the trick, if anyone can make it around the armor.
Gwen nodded sharply. The silk weaver had its head shrugged down behind its knobby armored shoulders as it worked, a difficult target, and one that would not sit still once someone pointed a weapon at it. She turned to the etherealist.
Can't you do anything?
I'm afraid my cane is upstairs in the suite, Ferris said apologetically. It would have given me away. Without it, I can't do anything significant.
Go get it,
Gwen said through clenched teeth. Ferris opened his mouth and stared at Gwen helplessly, then waved his hands and said,
But there are doorknobs, and I've sent Folly off to talk to cats.
Gwen gave him a level look. But there probably wasn't time for the etherealist to get his cane before the silk weaver came again in any case. She turned to the other survivors still in the room.
You lot! She shouted at them. A group of older men pressed into a small defensive clump, just as she and her companions were. When it goes for the stairs, we shall attack it together from all sides.
Semper Fortitudo!
Bellowed Master Ferris.
Semper Fortitudo!
A grey-haired, blocky man in a dock-worker's jacket answered.
We're with you. Everyone together.
Are you insane?
Screamed another patron, a younger man in another separate knot of younger men.
That thing will kill us.
Oh, God in heaven, man, do gather up your scrotum and fight,
Gwen snarled. Benedict blinked.
Even if we can engage it,
Commodore Pine said.
If we can't get to its belly, we can't kill it. It'll just hunker down under its shell.
Gwen looked sharply around the room and found a possible solution.
Should that happen, I'll make sure it does not have the luxury to remain still. Benny, can you keep its attention for a few moments?
As you wish, cuz, Benedict said, baring his pointed canines in a savage smile.
Planning to threaten it with treason?
You simply won't let that go, will you?
It's about to come again,
Master Ferris said calmly. The silk weaver compacted a last pair of grisly corpses into the doorway. One of them, Gwen thought, might still have been moving. Sealed them in tight with its silk and swarmed up onto the bar, its weirdly segmented eyes scanning the room as its legs danced restlessly, as if eager to pounce upon another target. Benedict obliged the creature, gliding out into the open floor directly between the enormous silk weaver and the staircase, sword in hand, and turned to face it alone, isolated from any of the defensive pockets of survivors. The silk weaver was a predator, a creature that sensed vulnerability and attacked it. It leapt at him at once, as swift and deadly as when it had slaughtered the dead strewn about the floor of the tavern. But the silk weaver's previous victims had not been Sir Benedict Sorrelin, warrior born of Albion. Gwen darted toward the bar and tried to keep an eye on her cousin, but it was virtually impossible. Not because she couldn't see him, simply because he and the silk weaver were moving too fast for her to properly comprehend what was happening. The silk weaver's massive form moved like lightning, like some engine of destruction, its club-like limbs hammering the ground with cracks of impact like heavy steam pistons slamming the spire stone floor. But no matter how fast the creature moved, or how quickly it struck, its blows never found flesh. Benedict somehow stayed fractions of an inch ahead, or to the side, or beneath the sweeping limbs, dancing back before the onrushing silkweaver, his feet hardly seeming to touch the floor. When the silkweaver's jaws snapped at his face, they met with nothing but a short, vicious strike of his sword. The beast shrieked in pain and charged Benedict furiously, following her cousin out into the center of the room, and Gwen realized that Benedict had led the creature there intentionally, to expose it to attack from all sides.
"Now!" Gwen shouted as she reached the bar. "Attack!"
Commodore Pine let out a bellow, hefted his chair, and charged the silkweaver, and the other surviving patrons of the Black Horse joined him. Some of the men had swords, and Gwen saw at least one gauntlet in evidence, but most were armed with chairs and knives. Their faces were pale, their voices cracking in screams that were more of terror than ferocity. But they knew as well as Gwen did that once a large predator of the surface began to spill human blood, it would not stop until it had killed every living person it could reach. Something about the taste of it maddened them, drove them to a savagery that was far beyond that of a mere hungry animal, though no one had ever provided an explanation as to why. Two of the younger men fell before they could even reach the silkweaver with their improvised weapons, clubbed down by lightning strikes of its many limbs. The rest closed on the silkweaver's flank, knives and swords stabbing, and the creature scuttled sideways, lashing out as it went, sending up more screams, until Commodore Pine closed from the opposite side of the silkweaver and brought his heavy chair down through a ponderous, swooping arc with all the strength of his stocky frame. The chair had a wooden seat, but the rest of it was made of coppered iron. It had to have weighed 40 pounds if it weighed an ounce, and Pine swung it with such force that the impact bent and twisted it. The silkweaver's armor might have protected its vitals from the shattering power of the blow, but nonetheless the force of the Olympian aeronaut's strike slammed the beast to the floor, sending its legs out in a wide sprawl and stunning it for a portion of a second. In the brief half-instant of weakness, Benedict attacked. With the same coughing roar Gwen had heard in the tunnels, Benedict closed on the silkweaver, his sword striking once, twice, three times, spinning in swift, heavy, vicious circles. Benedict wielded an exceptionally dense, weighty sword that had been intentionally created for use with his enhanced physique, and Gwen knew it would strike with terrible power. Three of the silkweaver's limbs went spinning away from its body, amidst gouts of violet fluid, and it staggered back, rough limbs slipping on the bloodied spirestone floor. Pine shouted, banging the twisted chair down onto the silkweaver with less effect the second time, and then was struck in the chest and sent flying back. The silkweaver's rear sections swept left and right like a curling tail, battering three more men and sending them reeling. But the old marine and several of his companions began driving their blades toward the creature's belly and its vulnerable flank. The silkweaver shrieked as more violet blood flowed and whirled on the men with unmistakable fury. They raised their weapons, but were simply no match for the thing, their knives and short swords unable to penetrate the creature's shell once it had faced them. It rushed them, tearing and smashing, breaking bones and rending flesh. Benedict roared again, but even his blade could not penetrate the silkweaver's armored shell and thudded futilely against it, slicing scrapes and fissures in the hide but drawing no blood. Even when he discharged his gauntlet nearly flush against the thing's hide, it did nothing to distract the silkweaver, and men screamed and fell before it, leaving Benedict standing alone. The silkweaver whirled on her cousin, flailing with its severed stumps of limbs, sending a spray of fluids at his face before it rushed forward. Benedict reeled back as the thing's blood filled one of his eyes and began to dodge and weave again. But now the floor was slick with scarlet blood and violet, and the silkweaver was not charging with blind violence. Instead, it circled, forcing Benedict to retreat from it in a spiral, and it wasn't until a few seconds later that Gwen realized that as it had advanced, the silk weaver had laid a strand of sticky ether silk on the floor behind it.
"Benny, look out!"
Gwen screamed. Benedict's boot touched the silk strand on the floor and adhered to it almost instantly. Her cousin fell. The silk weaver rushed forward for the kill. Benedict's gauntlet went off with a howl, his blood-shrouded face twisted into a snarl. The silk weaver wrenched its body and the massive humps of armor around its relatively tiny head shielded it from harm. And then a lumen crystal tore itself from its sconce, flew across the room like a blazing star, and struck the silk weaver precisely between the eyes.
"Semper fortitudo!"
Master Ferris slurred in a bellow.
"Over here, you great gawking thing! Leave that boy alone! I'm the one you're looking for!"
Had Gwen doubted the silk weaver's intelligence before, its reaction would have convinced her of its awareness and purpose. At the sound of Ferris's voice, the thing whirled with blinding speed and spent an endless second simply focused upon the old etherealist in what could only have been a shock of recognition. And then it let out the most blood-curdling shriek it had uttered yet. A second lumen crystal darted from a sconce and bounced off the silk weaver's head. The creature's weirdly segmented eyes seemed to flinch away from the cool blue light.
"Come on, then!" Ferris snarled. "What are you waiting for? An engraved invitation?"
The silk weaver screamed again and rushed at the old man. Gwen found herself in motion. She seized a glass bottle of the most potent liquor in the tavern in her right hand and flung it toward the empty space between the silk weaver and Master Ferris. Then, as the bottle tumbled, she raised her gauntlet. There was no time for careful sighting. Instead, she relied upon the hours and hours of practice she had put in to sense the precise moment to blast the tumbling bottle. She triggered her gauntlet, and white light leapt from the crystal on her palm across the room to the bottle. It exploded at once into a rapidly expanding shower of blue flame, a shower that fell directly onto the silk weaver's back and head. Fire suddenly wreathed the creature, burning skin and blackening armored hide, sending it staggering, thrashing and bucking in pain.
"Master Ferris!"
Gwen shouted, and sprinted toward the old man. It seemed to take an endless amount of time, but could only have been a few seconds. She reached the etherealist's side just as the silk weaver shuddered and its wild contortions ceased. Still aflame, it spun toward the etherealist again, and once more rushed forward, making a horrible hissing sound as it came. Gwen pushed Master Ferris behind her and raised her gauntlet. The burning silk weaver was coming fast, its agonized body still contorting strangely, its small head thrashing. Gwen would have only a single chance to kill the creature, and she dared not waste it. She planted her feet firmly, straightened her back, squared her shoulders, and took a steadying breath. Then she sighted carefully between her fingers and waited. The silk weaver came on, hissing and charging, burning and smoking, its mouth and club-like limbs smeared with blood. When it was no more than 5 feet away, Gwen loosed the bolt from her gauntlet. Then there was an impact so vast that she could scarcely credit it as anything but a delusion. A sense of rapid, brutal motion, and a blossom of agony in her skull. And then nothing.